Bill Belichick. Boom, bah. Another reason to celebrate Bill Belichick.
Buccaneers fans, here is Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And all that fun, Ira, is all about summer savings at Bill Curry Ford. Buy a new vehicle. They're going to suspend your payments for 90 days to give you a break in the summer so you can enjoy your vacation maybe a little bit more. And they've got all kinds of offers there on top of that. Great leases. BillCurryFord.com. Now, Sage, you know this. The Ira Kaufman podcast is always in effect at Bill Curry Ford. Do you take great pride in that?
Absolutely, very honored to be affiliated with Bill Curry Ford. And they're going great goods out there. I stopped off last week after a Bucs minicamp practice. Sean Sullivan said the dealership's doing very well. They were very busy in the showroom. And with the deals they're offering, Steve, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either, Ira. They will service your vehicle at your home. They'll give you a ride to the dealership with your vehicle. If that's what you need, they'll get you there. They'll get you a loaner. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. It's the giant, biggest service department in Florida, maybe the nation. And it's extraordinary what they've done there. 99 loaner vehicles to help you out. No reason to not get your car serviced. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, before we talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, I got to ask you about money. One of your favorite topics, Ira. You know, we love to get your historical perspective here. And this is maybe a bold question, but I think it demands being asked. Baker Mayfield making $30 million this year. $30 million. That's his salary. Trevor Lawrence now is going to earn $53 million a year. Justin Herbert is over 50. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes is now a deal in the upper 40s. There's a bunch of guys earning mid 30 millions. We know Daniel Jones is up around 40 million. Dak Prescott is making big money. He's going to make more. And I mean this with all sincerity. Based on what Mayfield accomplished here last year, based on his age, based on coming off a Pro Bowl, is he a historic bargain right now? For a veteran quarterback, not for a guy in a rookie deal.
Are you listening to yourself, Steve? Are you listening? He was so happy to take a $4 million deal a year ago. He played well. He played particularly well late in the postseason, even in the Detroit loss. He was careful with the ball, only threw 10 picks in the regular season. But is my heart breaking over Mayfield making $30 million? Now, let's take it easy. I say you got to do it again. Now, look, if the Jags want to give Lawrence north of $50 million, that's their folly. We don't have to follow here at one buck place. No, he's not underpaid. A year ago, he couldn't get a job. He took the Buck job out of desperation. He didn't have any options, Lee. So all of a sudden, I got to worry about him making only $30 million. I understand Steve's point, Lee, but my heart's not breaking for number six. Oh, my heart's not breaking either, but I think the question was, did the Bucks get a bargain? I think the answer to that is hell yes. Most of the people that wanted the Bucks to go out and get another quarterback, you know, the anti-Baker Mayfield crowd, or to move up in the draft to get a quarterback, that would have cost him a whole hell of a lot more. Yeah, I think Mayfield's a bargain. Hopefully, he plays just as well, or very similar this year, than he did last year. Yeah, I would say that's a bargain. I guess, Steve, I just keep going back to the fact that he does not have a track record of consistent production. Some of that's due to injuries. Not all of it. Not all of it. I understand your point. You know, you put it in context. Steve, all these other guys, now don't mention Mahomes. Steve, don't do that. I mean, don't mention Lamar Jackson. He's a two-time MVP. Steve.
I won't mention Lamar Jackson, all right? Here's one for you, Ira. Baker Mayfield had just as many touchdowns last year as the great sainted Lamar Jackson. And I might add, he has a better playoff record than, you know, the future Joe Montana that is Lamar Jackson.
Well, Lee, let's begrudge the fact that Jackson doesn't have great targets. He doesn't. We can't discount what he does
ball on the ground off the plate is a big part of his game. Drew Reed's a two-time MVP and runaway winner last year. Nobody close, huh? And I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Ira, but his production is just the same as Baker Mayfield's. They win a lot of games. Wait, they win a lot of games over there. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson is a Josh McCown. I'm not saying that. All the people, if you ever say a bad word about Lamar Jackson, oh boy, here comes the thought police. And we all know how much Baker Mayfield's grabbed upon. Yet their production is the same. And again, Mayfield's got a better record in the postseason than Lamar Jackson.
Well, I gotta say this on that front, just to defend Jackson a little bit on the stats part of it. Baltimore gets big leads on teams. Baker Mayfield didn't have that luxury last year. I mean, they're pulling off the gas in a lot of games. So, you know, I think Jackson could have put up more. You know, he's really good on the completion percentage as well. But it is a fun debate, Ira, when you just compare it head-to-head as far as the straight-up numbers. You know, without those numbers, it becomes speculation of what he could do or would do. For me, Ira, the interesting thing about Jackson is nobody wants to admit it, but he was a free agent last year. He had that tag that fans could have matched, or some teams could have matched, and tried to get the league MVP in his prime with a contract that maybe Baltimore wouldn't match, and no team touched him, and he won the MVP. What's Artie Blank thinking about that?
Well, he was unrestricted, Steve. Not unrestricted. If he ever is unrestricted, teams will fall all over themselves for him. He will. He's not just in the field. He wins a lot of games. Now, look, they got a hell of a defense, Baltimore. Better defense than the Bucs have any day of the week. So I will say that. But you can't name the Sorkins past Mark Andrews. They're not very good.
Well, I can name them, but they're not good.
Now, look, he played terrible in a playoff game against the Chiefs. He did. He played terrible. But you got to be careful with your argument, because I think if you look at Mayfield's stats, Mayfield might have been better than Mahomes last year.
You might be right there, but not even drunk people will say Baker Mayfield is equal or better than Pat Mahomes. Let's not get carried away here, but I understand what you're saying, but still, people act like Lamar Jackson is this borderline deity of a quarterback. In the same sentence, they'll crap on Mayfield, but when you say, hey, Butler has produced the same number of touchdowns,
Hey, Ira, I was fishing for you to, you wouldn't even say Mayfield was a bargain, which I think is incredible. I was fishing whether he was a historic bargain. So if, just on that alone, Ira, the Falcons paying Kirk Cousins $50 million and all that Kirk Cousins is, are they getting ripped off, or is he being paid just right?
He's not being paid just right. If you have the Achilles right, you wouldn't have a big problem with what Atlanta's doing. And, of course, they've already hedged their bets with the Patriots pick. Well, yeah, I'll say this. Mayfield was a spectacular bargain in 2023. But I kind of see going forward whether he's still a bargain at $30 million in 2024. I don't see where he's put good seasons together back-to-back necessarily. The Bucs haven't added a lot of juice on offense. Not a lot. Maybe the offensive line will be better. Hopefully. I think it will. But the same two main receivers, I think White's going to still be the main running back late. And we can cry about that. I'm not ready to say Mayfield's bargain at $30 million until I see what he does this fall. Late. I got to see it.
That's fair. You know how I could sum this all up in one sentence? I can't remember. It was a Waylon Jennings song, I think it was. I'm going to paraphrase. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be linebackers.
Yeah, that was Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. That's right. Look at Lee referencing country and western over there, Steve. That's worth mentioning.
I don't know. Does anybody still call it country and western? I guess you do. Hey, Sage.
I can't believe Lee had a Waylon Jennings reference. I can't believe it. That's from too many times and too many bars. By the way, Steve, I want to educate our listeners a little bit out here. You know, I know my rock and roll history, Lee. It's one of the things I pride myself on.
But Lee, which musician no one's heard of before you can reference?
Lee, did you know that Waylon Jennings in 1959, February, was on the tour where Buddy Holly's plane crashed? Did you know that, Lee?
No. I didn't know any of that. I wasn't born yet.
Did you know that Ted Adams was due to go on the plane, and I think Richie Valens flipped a coin with him, and the coin turned up in Valens' favor, and Valens got on that plane, and Jennings did not. See, that, Lee, you never know what you're going to learn on this podcast.
There you go, Ira, and I know that you already promised listeners in the next podcast you'll break down Frank Gifford's third year in the league for everybody. Sarge, most insurance carriers, most insurance companies, if you don't take steps to mitigate the damage to your house immediately, you're screwed. You're stuck. You're not going to get your money that you think you're going to. You have to take action immediately. Anything happens in your home, fire, mold, storm damage, water, which is a killer, whatever it is, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24-7. They'll come out, give you a free evaluation with all the greatest technology. They're family-owned. Josh Martin, great friend of the podcast, great friend of Ira. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They service the entire Tampa Bay area, and they're family-owned, but they're not too small to give you amazing service, and they'll give you that free evaluation, and if you need them to move forward, they've got 25 years combined experience working with insurance companies on that side of the business, so they know all the ins and outs to get you your money and to do it right. Sean Sullivan, our friend at Bill Curry Ford, always talks on his podcast about how Florida's Elite Restoration saved his home near the beach. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Mention Ira when you call, and if you end up needing their services, if you mention Ira when you first call, they'll give you $500 toward your deductible, or maybe that's just cash back on the restoration work of your property. Don't delay. Put them in your favorites. Make them part of your plan. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You know, you mentioned linebackers, Ira. Don't grow up and be a linebacker there. He was joking, but you wrote about Levante David the other day. I feel like you have some different thoughts about him in the Hall of Fame, and KJ Britt is obviously looking in his direction, as is the team. Where do you stand now on David, and tell us about that column inspiration.
See, one thing I'm very curious to watch over the next year or two, and we'll see how much longer Levante wants to play. Lee, I think he's still playing at a very high level. I think last year was one of his best seasons. But, Lee, I'm curious, and I've always said this, you know, even when Brooks was around, when Rondé was there, when Aqib Talib, Lee, I always tried to make the point that these guys are smart. You know, they come in as rookies, first, second, third years. Latch on to these guys that have done it for so long and so well, and learn their habits. See how they do things and try to emulate them. It's not easy. It's not easy. You know, the film study, the preparation, even their diet, things like that. Sometimes they do it, Lee, and sometimes they don't. And I don't think Devin White did it with Levante David. And I think David, if you get him off to the side and... you don't have your tape recorder going, Lee. I think David feels very badly that Devin White is no longer a Buck. He might even take it personal. But you can only do so much, Lee, unless a guy is willing to meet you halfway. And now I'm looking at KJ Britt. You know, White was 21 when he joined the Bucks. Lee, Britt was 21 when he joined the Bucks. Now he's been around for 3 years watching David. And talking to Britt the other day, Lee, off to the side by myself, he couldn't stop talking about Levante David's work habits and how he's going to school on it. Now, Lee, that sounds good, because I think Devin White said the same thing in 2019. I'm going to follow David around. I'm going to do this. And, Lee, that only worked for a year or two. And then he regressed. I'm very curious to see what happens with Britt. He's a different type of player than White, surely. He's not as spectacular, but I think he's a lot more steady. And I'm curious to see whether he can learn the best from Levante David and be his best. You know, I sound like Raheem Morris. You know, be your best self. Lee, Raheem always used to say that. He's still saying it in Atlanta. But, Lee, that relationship between the great veteran player and the up-and-coming player, I'm curious about it. I can't believe what happened to Devin White. I can't believe he didn't get a second contract based on his play in 2020, Lee, when you rightfully point out there might not have been a better Buccaneer, including Brady, in that postseason. I think you're right. And then it all went to hell. It all went to hell right in front of Levante David. He saw the whole thing happening. The contract stuff, the bad angles, out of position. It must have tore up David. So that's why I wrote that column. I hope Britt is smart enough. I think he is, Lee. this guy around. Follow 54 around and try to do the things that he does to put yourself in the best position. And Lee, we'll talk about the Hall of Fame in a minute. But, Lee, I still can't believe Devin White couldn't soak up how to be a professional like Levante David. It's very disappointing.
We talk about three different guys in the league on three different circumstances, and they had three different goals. I don't think it's a revelation or a surprise. Like, I want, you know, to paraphrase you, Ira, that Brett needs to start following around Levante David like a puppy. I think he's done that for a few years already. I think it's pretty obvious. You know, he's probably going to be playing behind Devin White, not starting. So I think he's been doing all of the hard work already, and that shows in the fact that he's not starting, and Devin White's gone. So I don't think that, you know, all of a sudden Brett's supposed to start, so he's gotta you know, sleep with Levante David. I think he's been hanging around Levante David from the minute he got drafted, because he knew he needed to soak things up, and he was a bubble player. Let's be honest, he was a bubble player, so he knew he didn't have any job security. So I think that's already happened. Number two, David came in the league thinking he had it all figured out, thinking he already had his second contract in the bag.
You mean White, you said, David? You mean White?
White, yeah, White. I think him coming in the league where he did, top five, thought he had it all figured out already, thought he basically had that second contract in the bag already, then he goes out and wins the title his second year and plays the way he did. I think it all went to his head. I think it all went to his head. And all of a sudden, he started cutting corners. And he thought he had it figured out. And he thought he only needed to play half-assed and he could do it. And it came back to bite him. I really believe that. Brady chewed him out because White was so bent out of shape, he didn't make a Pro Bowl. Because he thought that would help him get his contract. And Brady basically told him to shut the hell up. And there's only one bowl that counts, it's Super Bowl, not a Pro Bowl. We all remember that story. That says it all right there. Him getting called out by Sapp, I don't think he knew how to handle it. I just think he thought he had it made. And for whatever reason, him and Bowles clashed, or at least how they're supposed to be used, and he packed it in. And it got to the point where they held you scratched.
Steve, I think David has to be heard now. Look, he's moving on. There's no question about it. He's got a new kid to bring up. Although Britt's got a little bit of experience, but Steve, the whole Devin White situation, I think it had to weigh on Levante David. He saw the whole thing happen right in front of his eyes. He couldn't do anything about it. I'm sure, Steve, I'm sure he tried to talk some sense into Devin White during that season, but it didn't work.
Yeah, I'm sure he talked to him every day, and that really illustrates what kind of a clown Devin White was. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Sage, back at the owners' meetings, I was able to break the story that Todd Bowles said that Devin White, quote, needed a change of scenery. Bowles, we were in a hallway, and he said it, so, you know, it wasn't off the record. So what was interesting, though, is 2 months later, this is about 10 days ago, a Philadelphia reporter is interviewing Devin White at a news conference and says, hey, Todd Bowles says you needed a change of scenery. What do you have to say about that? And I'm like, hey, that's my line. But Devin White responds saying, well, if that's what Todd Bowles says, I love him and he's the greatest and I probably did. And then he goes on to say, quote, yeah, it's my first time being in a business situation and I don't think I handled it well. I handled it more like a lawyer than I should have been just a football player. And now I'm back to being a football player, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the guy's a clown. I don't understand. Every other player goes through a contract year and says, all right, I just got to play great, and I'll get my deal. And White thinks he's a lawyer? What does all that mean, Ira?
Well, the point you just made is the key point. It's not like he's 31. He's 25. Lee, if they weren't put together, they're not even as good a season, you know, late as in 2020. I mean, you know, whatever year he had the 9 sacks, I mean, that's unreasonable. That's not going to happen very often from an inside linebacker. I understand that. But Lee, his whole play regressed terribly, terribly. And he ended up losing a start. You know, Lee, he plays well last year. He's going to get the big money from the Bucs. He's going to get it. Why didn't he understand that? I'll never figure that one out.
There's no need to figure it out. Steve already figured. He's a clown.
You're not a clown, Ira, but you don't realize.
What more do you need to say? He's a clown.
Lee, would you be shocked if he resurrected his career in Philly?
Not really.
But he could get
Spring Awakening, Philly ain't Tampa. Philly, and you kind of pointed this out, Ira, in your column. He plays, he dogs it like he did against Baltimore with the Bucks. They'll never forget that.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia. They will never forget that. And they'll probably never forgive him for that either. So, and by the way, I highlighted this on Twitter, Ira. You had a great line in your column. A.J. Brett may never have the splash plays that Devin White made, but he'll make the right plays.
I'm impressed with Brett. Instead of focusing on what Brett doesn't do so well, I think he's very good at what he does do well. And by the way, I didn't realize it at the time. He had 12 tackles in that Detroit Gage game. I think David had 13. So they combined for 25. His last game was 12 tackles. Steve, in a playoff game, even in defeat. I think Brett's going to get the job done. And if he's a run stopper, let him be a run stopper. I think that's the main job of an inside linebacker, Steve. And I think he does it well.
Sage, he's very capable, but he's just a mystery. We don't know if he can handle the pounding of an entire season. He's out there at the end of the season with super fresh legs, which can help quite a bit late in the year. And he knows the defense. They like him. He's obviously got a 100% all-in leadership kind of personality. Like Lee said, he's been paying attention to David, it seems, since day one. He also has seen what you shouldn't do for a while with Devin White. So that can't hurt either, but I don't know if he can go the whole season. I mean, well, what is KJ? He's limited athletically. What does he do when he's got a tight quad in week 9 and has to play through it? I don't know.
Well, yeah, Pettis said it, and I'll say it before Lee does. Pettis hasn't done anything on the pro level.
That's true.
But he's not a 7th round pick. Lee, they like the kid. So if Britt gets bandaged up for 3 or 4 games, I think they feel they can get by with Pettis. All right, Lee, it's that time of the podcast. I might as well blow this whole thing up. I'll start it off like this.
Well, wait, Sage, I have no idea what you're going to say. So let me at least throw out there that Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com, that's where you shop when you need a vehicle first. And check out their amazing offers and quality and everything that goes on there. BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium on Dan Mabry. All right, Sage, what do you got?
All right, here's what I got. Levante David will have a difficult time getting a gold jacket. It will be difficult. Did I say impossible? No. Should it be difficult? Maybe not. But it will be. Lee, I've been around these people for 20 years. The selectors. 20 years. I know what goes on in that room behind closed doors. And what doesn't go on behind closed doors is giving guys without the hardware an easy pass in the game. That doesn't happen, Lee. It doesn't happen. Do I agree about Pro Bowls should be diminished? Yes, I do. And personally speaking, I don't put that much stock in it. I don't. But I'm going to give you an example, Lee. And yes, when Levante David retires, he might be in the top 5, Lee, of all time total tackles. Very impressively, very impressive. But Lee, I see a guy who's like in second place, maybe third. This guy named London Fletcher. Played for Washington. Might have played for some other teams. He's got over 2,000 tackles. I don't think Levante can catch him. He's not getting much of a set, Lee. What I'm saying is, there's such a disparity between the hardware of Levante David, for whatever reason, and Keith Lee and Bobby Wagner. It's not even close in terms of hardware, Lee. It's not close. And these guys are contemporaries, Lee. They didn't play in different decades. They were in the same draft class, Lee. The same draft class. And yet, year after year, this guy's a first-team All-Pro, and David is not. A lot of the same voters that are on the selection committee. So I'm just trying to bring a little realism into this. We've been blessed to watch Levante David, Lee, over all these 100-plus games. And the guy out of Pittsburgh hasn't seen Levante David maybe 8 times in the guy's whole life. It's not going to be easy, Lee. And I don't care what Buck fans say. They all look at it from a Buck perspective. Are you crazy? The
this is a no-brainer. Mahari, David, and Canton, it's got to happen. It's not going to be easy, Lee. Might not be fair. That's the way it is.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I'm not a selector, and I don't really care how these people think. If you're talking about Hall of Fame, to me, what you do in between the lines is what counts. Now, Peter King got in all kinds of hot water all the time, and he said, what counts is not what a guy did, like O.J. Simpson, for example, or someone like Aaron Hernandez. And King would say, well, it doesn't matter. It's what happens between the lines. I agree with him. That's the way the Hall of Fame lays out? Okay. So people who keep bringing up Pro Bowls and second-team All-Pro-Bowl, that's not between the right lines. What a player controls is what he's supposed to be judged on. I can't tell you what, pick a name out of slot, how he thinks. I don't care. I judge by how a guy plays. If I'm going to judge a player, I've got to judge exactly the way the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to the best of my knowledge, has it laid out. You judge by what he did on the field. And that's given. I can't go any other way. I can't say, well, this guy did this way because Tarmac Mars is behind the moon. I can't. I don't care.
There you
I
go.
Can only say what goes in my heart and my eyes and my mind. David gets screwed out of it because dumbasses don't follow the Bucks. I'm sorry, but I can't think that way.
Sanjay, you made the key point that the same voters who were not voting David even second team All-Pro, those are his most of the selectors. So they're not just going to flip their own script there as a reality check. You know, looking at the numbers right here in front of me, if David has a typical year this year, he'll be number four on the all-time leading tacklers in the modern era behind Ray Lewis, Fletcher, and Derek Brooks. London Fletcher was a second team, was a semifinalist for the Hall last year. Didn't make the cut to the final 15. But the ring has to make a big difference. And I think this season, as crazy as it sounds, this season is probably a big year for David with the Hall. You tell me if I'm wrong, Ira. Because if he has the kind of year this year and makes the Pro Bowl at age 34, and the Bucks have a good year, they do have a good team, you know, maybe the voters look a little bit like, hey, you know what, this guy made the Pro Bowl in 34, he's passed all these guys like Junior Seau and Urlacher and total tackles, and maybe we misjudged a little bit, and then his career ends. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think the one point that Lee's missing a little bit in his analysis is, Lee, when these voters are making the All-Pro team, it's a reflection in their eyes of what the guy did between the lines, Lee. That's what they're voting on. So, in theory. Again, just the fact that Keith Lee, who was a defensive player of the year, Lee, that's big. You know, Brooks was, Sapp was, J.J. Watt, I think, won it three times. I mean, it's a heck of a distinction. You were the best defensive player in the league that year. And Keith Lee, I believe it was his second year in the league, got that. Lee, the fact that Keith Lee and Wagner, you know, whether they did it or not, should not, in theory, bar Lamonte David. He's still playing. Keith Lee's a walk-on. He's going to come up for election well before Lamonte David. He's not in the batter's box, but he's in the on-deck circle. Lee, Keith Lee's coming up here.
Hey, okay, I'm not picking on Keith Lee. I'm saying I always thought, again, I'm just talking about playing on the field. I thought Lamonte David was Keith Lee's equal. I won't go as far as saying Lamonte David's better than Bobby Wagner. I can't go that far. But with Keith Lee, I thought they were equal. I really thought they were equal.
And Steve, I'm just going to speak for myself because a lot of the selectors have a different view on this. But for me, unless you're voting on a quarterback or a head coach, the Hall, quarterback or head coach, because I think they have so much responsibility towards team success, those two spots, as opposed to a left guard, or even in my mind, a linebacker. Lee, I'm not over the moon on whether you got a ring or not to get into the Hall of Fame. I'm just not. More than a few selectors disagree with me. They bring up, he's got two rings, he's got a championship. Lee, unless it's a quarterback or head coach, I'm not going to hold it against somebody. No, I'm not. And I'm not going to give, safety, you know, extra credit that much for a championship because, Lee, those are team awards, and what am I going to do, not Dan Marino? I mean, come on. So, as far as the championship, I got that way further down the list when I'm looking at guys through the hole. I guess what I'm saying is, Lee, don't count out Levi David, but he's certainly not a slam dunk. Not even close to being a slam dunk.
I think when it comes to Levante, more and more as younger guys get on that selector committee, they're more and more inclined to look at advanced stats. And if you look at advanced stats, Levante David is a slam dunk. If you look at advanced stats, his advanced stats are right in there with J.J. Watt. If you look at his, what do they call that, stoplights, for example, every guy on the top list, you don't blink an eye. Hall of Famer Levante David is in that stack. And if all those other guys are Hall of Famers, well, then look at the group he hangs with. It almost sounds like you may be saying that Levante David could be the modern-day version of Tommy Nobis. Well, I can't go there, Lee. A much longer career than Nobis. No injuries particular to speak of where Nobis did. And, Lee, the Bucks have been relevant, and the Falcons weren't. Now, look, I'm a Tommy Nobis guy. I think I presented him for the Centennial Committee 3 or 4 years ago, and didn't get enough traction to get him in.
Wait a minute. You think you presented him, or you did present him?
I presented him once, and I think it was the Centennial.
Got it.
Steve, Nobis made the All-Decade team in the 60s. He only played half the decade. I believe he was drafted in 65. Not easy to make an All-Decade team when you come in at 65. And the guys around him were like Ray Nitschke and Dick Butkus. And Nobis made it for a terrible team. That was impressive. Oh, yeah, see, one more thing about Levante David. I think this is ironic. And you guys remember this. Steve, I don't have his numbers in front of me. But in 2013, Steve, that's when he put all those numbers together. It was sort of like a Winfield season. Steve?
Yeah.
You know, he had the sacks, the interceptions, the tackles for loss. He was all over the board. And Lee, the irony of it, as a very young player, and I was there, and Lee, you might have been there. I believe that was the season that started in New York against the Jets. And the Bucks had a chance to win the game, and Levante David made a bonehead play at the end of that game against Geno Hayes,
Geno Smith. Geno Smith.
Yeah, Geno Smith, that's right. He had no business, hitting the guy out of bounds. And brought the field goal attempt that much closer. And who was it, Nick Folk? Steve? Something like that. Hit the winning field goal. This was the season opener. And that kind of set the tone for just one of the worst seasons in Buck history. Was his second a lot?
Yeah.
Right, the game where Josh Green was sleepwalking.
Yes, it was.
They had the lead. They had the lead with seconds to go. Somehow.
Oh, yeah, they were out of field goal range. If David didn't hit Geno Smith out of bounds, that put him in field goal range.
And, absolutely.
I don't know if I should say this or not, but it was told to me confidentially by an extremely good source. Meaning there weren't too many people higher up the ladder than the guy that told me this, that Josh Freeman was, well, sleepwalking. I'll just leave it at that. He was literally sleepwalking in that game.
Steve, a bonehead play like that for a young second-year player, that could have shattered David's confidence, and instead, he had a fantastic season.
Do you think that play, and it was, the worst place to do it, you did it in Gotham, and it got so much play, that happened in Seattle. It might have been an afterthought, but this happened in New York with all the New York media, TV, radio, you name it. Watch this. First game of the year. The brightest of spotlights outside of possibly a Super Bowl. You think that may have given David a scarlet letter of sorts?
Well, it's 12 years later, Lee. I got to think that letter is faded, but I understand your point. And Lee, along those lines, remember the famous victory formation? And that also happened in New York, Lee. Again, bigger spotlight. That's right.
Yeah, Sage, I don't know if that affected David just because, this, like you mentioned, in general, those same voters gave him all pro that year. So, it was over by then. What I think gets lost for David is that he played in multiple defenses. Right, so he has this great year in 2013, he comes back in 2014, and isn't even on the stat sheet because he he can't figure out, or Lovie Smith can't figure out exactly how to get the most out of him. And then a year later, they figure it out. He has a great year. And then, of course, they're changing defenses again and again. He goes to the 3-4 and has success. One thing I think works against David is that, you know, the common line on David was, oh, well, you know, the Bucs stink and he's buried here in Tampa. That's why he doesn't get the Pro Bowls. Well, when the Bucs were good, he still didn't get the Pro Bowls, playing in endless primetime games with Tom Brady and, you know, being on a winning team the last 4 years. So I think that that's going to hurt him in general, that, you know, whoever's making these votes, like you said, David's got a big hill to climb. But Ira, you mentioned Tommy Nobis, who most people don't know who that is, but it made me think of old-timers, and that made me think of Bill Belichick, and that made me think of that we absolutely have to get your feedback on Mr. Belichick being 72 years old, and the sage has to comment on the breaking story that Belichick now has a 24-year-old girlfriend. How does that sit at the Kaufman household?
Well, at least she's a former cheerleader, so there's only three words that that apply to the situation. Sis boom bah. Sis boom bah. Another reason to celebrate Bill Belichick, besides his great coaching and sailing into the Hall of Fame. Really quick story. His former girlfriend, I think her name is Linda Holiday. Linda Holiday. And Lee, I remember this. This goes back 10 years when Sapp was, he was going to be a finalist for the Hall of Fame, and the Patriots came in before a preseason game, stayed a couple of days, and they had a scrimmage with the Bucks, and I asked to try to talk to Belichick, and I wanted to get some quotes about Sapp, and finally I did get him off to the side after practice. It wasn't easy, but I did. And he came by with Linda Holiday. I had it signed. And I had never met Linda Holiday, and I had barely ever met Belichick at that point. And, Lee, once again, you can't take the Brooklyn out of me, Lee. You can't do it. You can try, but you can't do it. When Belichick said, what can I do for you? Before he even mentioned Sapp's name, I looked right at this blonde, Linda Holiday, and I said, how do you live with this guy? That's what I said, Lee. I had never met her before. Didn't know Belichick. And here I go, asking a provocative question like that. I didn't know what the hell the response was going to be. She left. That made Belichick laugh. And it brought his guard down. Lee, who else is going to say that to Belichick's girlfriend at the time? Who else? So, if he does a Bucks game this year or somehow gets up to Ray J on a home game, and if he brings up this cheerleader, I'm going to ask her, how do you live with this guy? Maybe she'll give me an answer with a big cheer. Go, go, go. Go, Belichick, go. You never know. You never know.
I guess one important question is this the reason you got a new hip?
I say God bless him. Lee, what else is there to say? I wish those two happiness. You know, when he goes into the Hall of Fame, maybe she'll be the first person he mentions ahead of Brady. You never know, Lee.
All right, Lee, you got anything else? Otherwise, we're getting out of here on that note.
No response to that.
I haven't.
The first time I've left the Kemper speechless, Steve, let it be noted.
Has anybody said sis boom bah since 1979? I'm not sure.
I have one more thing, guys. If I just see this former cheerleader, Lee, I might show her my sutures from the hip replacement. That's always a go-to spot for me, and see how they react.
To quote Steve Isbitz, we're done.